Welcome to the Female Fight Experience, the podcast where we share stories to inspire female Muay Thai fighters at all levels to jump in the ring. Brought to you by your hosts, Smokin' Joe Coverdale, and me, Bridget Tuckrath. Our first guest of 2024, we are so stoked to bring you. She is a fighter, a mum. She runs an all-female class at their gym as well, the very new location as well, which we want to talk to her about, Cowboy Muay Thai. Welcome to the podcast, Chloe Dean. How are you going, Chloe?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're a liar. You're not good because you haven't slept all night. You just told us you're operating
true.
On caffeine and not much else. What on earth happened last night?
Oh, just, you know, I think it's just Murphy's Law. Like it happens when it happens. And my son's trying to drop his nap, which is terrible timing considering I'm fighting in 3 weeks. But, you know, it's either fight or don't fight. So you just got to roll with it.
For the uneducated, what's dropping a nap?
So at the moment he still has one nap during the day, which is when I can get a lot of things done, and also it pushes out his bedtime, so it means I can get my training in at night. So if he drops his nap, then his bedtime's earlier, and then I've got to work out how I manage to train at night. But we'll cross that bridge when it comes.
It's also like you just get used to one. So they'll have like four naps a day when they're born, and you're like, you just kind of get used to that. And they're like, fucking drop one. They go down to three, and then they get into, mine's just going from two to one at the moment. And it's just like, fuck, I just got used to having like a morning and an afternoon chunk. And then you're lucky if you get like an hour in the middle of the day. Now it's constantly, you just get it sussed, and then the fuckers change things on you.
Is that, right. does that happen naturally, or do you have to make them like, I don't understand.
They just do it. You can't make them do anything.
No.
Well, I don't know. Two schools of thought. What do you think, Chloe?
I'm just his slave, to be honest. Like, I'm here to guide him in what he wants to do, it seems.
Sorry you had a rough
Sounds
night.
That's great.
Yeah. Just like, this is the best contraception I've ever.
Get it forward.
So your boy is named Fox. We have the pleasure of seeing him at amateur shows. He's always there helping mum and dad set up the ring and just generally entertaining everyone. What sort of kid is he?
He's so busy. He's awesome. Like we're so lucky. He's just happy all the time. But he's also a runner, and he doesn't switch off ever. So I actually listened to the last podcast with Grace, and she was talking about how her daughter's she's a good player, and my son is too, but I can't keep him in the gym. Like our new gym is just we're backing onto a train line, and there's a train station, so as soon as he hears a train, he is out that door like sprinting, and so half the gym's trying to grab him. So it's like, yeah, it's tricky. I've got to keep my eye. Oh, honestly, can I?
Time to a ring post.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm laughing at that only because on New Year's Eve this year, we lost our child at Morty Alex.
Bridget.
For a period of approximately probably 3 minutes in human real time, but for me it felt like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was the most horrifying period of time, and I was always adverse to those people in the airports with like the backpacks with the long like monkey tail leash on. Now like, my kid's five, I'm fucking buying one of those. And
I'm all for that day. Shit.
No judgment. We're about to have to go to Bangkok, and I'm considering it also.
Do it. There is to be like,
because
it lets them run around.
Does it? Though?
It stops you from yelling at them. Well, come here. You know what I mean? You just kind of like, sure thing.
Yank.
People can't see. Yeah.
Like they don't come with
like
a choker, by the way.
No. Do something you don't want it to do, and you just give it a little pull back.
Oh my god. Okay. How's the new gym going too, Chloe? Because last time we saw you, you were just about to change premises. You've got a beautiful big new space there for Cowboy Muay Thai. How's it all looking?
Yeah, we're so lucky. Like it's just the perfect gym space. We actually had to be out of our previous location, and it all happened really fast. My whole previous fight camp, we were frantically looking for a gym and just weren't finding anything. And then one day I got this notification from Real Commercial, which I had 1,000 of a day. And I just had this feeling that I'm like, oh my God, I think this is going to be our gym. And then I was just scrolling through the photos and showing Corey and I was like, babe, like this is our gym. And then we've got it, and somehow we got it for a great price, and it's a huge open space, and it's light, And like, yeah, it's just awesome. We're just so lucky. But it has been a really, really fucking hard month because we had to be out and in within a month. And there was a lot of demo and stuff like that. So, yeah, we've been busy.
How many squares have you got now?
480.
Oh, man.
Yeah, right.
Good.
For context, yeah. What's
that? I've got 210 or 215.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So like yours looks massive, Joe. I thought yours was massive.
It's plenty big enough, but it ain't four. I'd love four.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. Like we're super excited. It's just, you know, there's a lot of that's a lot of mats. Like
it's true.
And mats, it all costs a lot of money.
Yeah, the mats are expensive. Yeah. It's
especially
because will you fit it out with like a weight section and stuff like that, or yeah
we've put up a little strength section as we've now, but yep. It's just like squat racks and benches. Connor Goodman, our fighter, kindly donated like his whole COVID strength setup.
Nice.
So we've got everything now. I just want to get us a cable machine and then I reckon we're set. But we've got so many dumbbells. We've got the cage and all the attachments and everything. So we're all going to get pretty jacked. Yeah.
More jacked.
Yeah.
So you're open now? Is the gym all open?
Yeah. So we had a month to be at Carnegie.
Carnegie, yeah, cool.
So it's about, in context, about 8 minutes from Muay Thai Vic in Chatty.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
It's good. Yeah, right.
I like the Chatty ones. I'm thinking we're only going to fight bi-monthly.
Oh, come off that.
That's secretly. I feel like that's what half of us are going to do, but just not tell Bridget or Si that.
I don't know if it's worth driving around with a gun. I don't know if the risk is worth going. Better off just leaving it at home.
Not true. That bad. Once we get in and sweep out the glass, it's fine.
It's a good venue, though. But yeah,
it's a good venue. It looks good, and it's fun to be in. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nightclub vibes are good. They are, though, for fights. Like, it's fun.
Yeah, the fights at the end of the day especially, they get really rowdy, and it does feel like a really entertaining venue, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the last one. Yeah, because at the start when they first put the music on and it's like booming and you're like, whoa, where am I? Yeah. And then 7-year-olds start fighting. Yeah.
There's cool photos of them too. Yeah. Oh, man. You got a couple of youngins too coming out of your gym. You're little Sienna. I love watching her fight. Is she 8 years old?
Eight, I think. Oh, not maybe nine now. But yeah, she's a beast. She's like terrifying. She uses us for her. She conditions us when she's training for a fight. Oh my God. When she's punching you, you're like, I am tensing so hard because it hurts. She's so strong. It's wild.
That's good.
That's cool.
And yeah, we've got little Noah too, who's, he's had like 10 fights now and he just loves it.
Yeah. They're racking up the experience, man. They're going to be wicked to watch when they're a bit older.
Crazy. I want to do things like what they're doing.
I know, if you could go back in time, right?
Oh, God. Well, different story.
Well, let's go back in time and hear your story then, Chloe. How about you go back and tell us about how... Did you start Muay Thai when you met Corey, or did you meet Corey through Muay Thai? How did it all start?
So I met Corey through Muay Thai. Mm-hmm. I feel like Muay Thai was something that I was always meant to find, and it was one of those things that was probably missing from my life. I was in a pretty, it started out as a really beautiful relationship, but it ended up very violent and toxic. And he was later killed. And so that took me it was full on. And it took me a few years to unpack. So my 20s were like a whole lot of soul searching. And I did a lot of yoga and bushdoofs. And I actually,
I think we have to, for our vast international listeners, they will not know what a buffdoff is.
Just bush like a big party. They're fun too, but just like a big party out in the forest somewhere. Just lots of music, lots of dancing, lots of hippies. It's awesome. But then, yes, and I worked for a charity. It was a not-for-profit that ran programs for kids in commission housing and lower income areas. And I just felt like I was really pouring a lot from my cup, and it just, like, I just, after living a pretty intense life previously and then trying to be all zen and trying to help all these other people, I just, there was still this kind of fire that I had that I just needed to feed. And I used to walk past this Muay Thai gym twice a day on my way to work. And so one day I walked upstairs, I finally got the courage to go in, and there was a good looking blonde boy on the desk. And I asked if they had classes for beginners. And he just proceeded to check me out. And he's like, "You'll be right. You look tough enough." So that's obviously how I met Corey. And then I haven't trained consistently since then. He then left Super Fight. So I went in where I worked. It was also a gym. And there was a boxing club there. So I did some boxing for a bit. And then went traveling. And then COVID and a baby. So I've probably only been training consistently for about 18 months to 2 years, but it's been a road, and I've been around Muay Thai since 2017 with Corey. So, I've had a weird insight into it with being very close to the fighting before I was actually fighting.
Mm, did you find that helped or hindered you, like, in regards to making the decision to do it? Because you would have seen the worst of it, obviously, as well. As the good stuff too.
It helped, I think, because I just felt like I'd already been around it for so long, and I was just excited for it to be my turn. And as I said, coming from a pretty hectic early 20s, I learned that, like, I'm not breakable. You know, we're just, like, you can push on, and I wasn't scared. I was never scared of getting hurt or anything like that. I was just, my biggest fear was doing things in front of people, because I a bit socially awkward and shy, but that was my issue. But so being around the fights was probably better, because, you know, I was already out in the back rooms helping people warm up. Like, I was used to the space, stuff like that.
How do you get over your fear of, I guess, performance?
That's why I had to do it.
Yeah, okay.
That was my I wanted to fight originally just to show myself I could do it. That was my biggest challenge. The fear wasn't about the fight. It was just about the personal growth of doing something that you're afraid of.
That was on Muay Thai Victoria?
I actually had two boxing fights back in 2019.
Okay.
Yeah, which I to be honest, I only ever did boxing because I thought it would help my Muay Thai. But it took Corey about 2 years to undo everything I'd learnt from amateur boxing. Yeah. So much. And just jumping in on punches, and just because it's amateur scoring, you know.
Yeah.
Is amateur scoring just like flurries? Is it that sort of?
Yeah, just not big power punches like Muay Thai. So we've been working on really sitting on punches and stuff like that. And it's coming now, which is fun.
So your style, the way that you fight, you know, everybody kind of would assume, coming from cowboy being Corey's kind of style of Muay Cow and stuff like that, but how have you kind of taken to the way you fight, and what would you say that it is?
I feel like I'm so early that I still don't know. I do love to clinch. I do love to knee, which is obviously a very Corey style. But in my last fight, so I think a lot of, like, my fights, because I get concerned that I look very savage when I fight, and I don't even mean to. I just I just love fighting.
Isn't that aspirational?
Is it? I don't know. Sometimes I watch it and I'm like, "Fuck, Chloe, like, chill,
relax."
yeah.
Like, but I think part of that thing is you're doing three rounds as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't get those two smooth rounds at the start where you can look relaxed. You gotta come and be all in straight away.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hopefully that's the reason. Don't know what it'd look like if I do a 5-round fight, but we'll work on it. But yes, I actually really liked my last fight, because in the first round, like, so I was clinching a lot, and then in the second and third, I realized, like, I found a place in my fight where I can actually step back and fight at range, and not anxiously rush in. And that was really, like, Sorry, my phone's making weird noises. Oh. That was really powerful for me because I actually, I kind of came into my body and was able to sit back and just be in the fight. And, you know, that whole flow state, I haven't really tapped into that yet. So that was cool.
Mm. Felt like you actually had time to do things.
Yeah, and I could actually just sit and think instead of just rush.
Cutting her open in the first round probably helped that. Gave you a little bit of, like,
yeah,
you were well in front. It was good. It was really good to watch.
Yeah. Obviously I've never done that before. And so my first reaction was, oh, shit, does she have kids? Because when I got cut from Helen, my son kept getting having nightmares. I felt so bad, but he kept having nightmares about me falling over. So, but it's all right. I've come to real life.
Mum fell over. Now she's cut.
Oh, I didn't. He was too young, really, at that point. But he was fine. And I've taken it, the way I've processed it all is that it's good for him to be able to see people get hurt and become better, and you know, and to heal. So that's my taking on it now.
Yeah.
But yeah, after I felt guilty immediately. Just the mum in me came out. But then I started trying to punch it. So it obviously
more, make it work.
Yeah. For the love of the sport, you know.
That is interesting to me though, because like your natural first reaction is like, oh shit, is she a mum? I've hurt someone. I hope she's okay. And then like in the moment, you're having to sort of correct yourself and like ground yourself in what you're doing and what the point of it is.
Yeah. I zoned back in pretty quick because I've got Corey yelling at me in the corner.
Okay.
So
that would help.
I switched
too.
Back on. Yeah. He's good. Well, I can hear him really well in the corner, so it helps.
Yeah. Yeah, you're quite dialed in, are you?
Yeah, very much so. Like, I guess I hear his voice 24/7. So it's like when you hear, you know, Bridget, you know, when you hear your child, it's that same, it's in your brain.
Yeah. My husband's also like a child. Yes, I do understand.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what I was getting at.
Oh, shit. So you're raising a child, you're training for fights. You've got one coming up. Did you say 3 weeks?
Yeah, in Thailand, in the WBC Amazing Festival.
You must be stoked.
So excited. So fucking stoked. Have you seen the card of women that's on that, Bridget?
I have not.
Oh, it's epic. It's me, Joanne, Allegra, Fon Piggott, Danny Rushton, and I'm definitely forgetting someone. Erin Carter.
Mm.
So, yeah, epic lineup. I'm so stoked to be in that.
Did you guys like get picked for that, or did you have to put your name for? Like, how did it all work?
For us, we got, so it's Ben and I from our gym, and Don Miller is the head coach. So Don Miller selected us.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, right. Fucking blessed, and just so excited. I didn't know if I'd get to fight in Thailand, being a mum. But now we're going on a family holiday to Bangkok.
So cool.
Yeah.
Where do the Deans go for a family holiday?
Yeah. Bangkok to fight. So yeah. Yeah.
So, is that under pro format or IFMA?
It's amateur.
It's amateur. So it's like a tournament kind of style.
Yeah. So it's like a knockout kind of tournament. Cool. Fully padded. Same day weigh-ins, multiple day weigh-in, yeah.
So no weight cutting or very minimal?
Very minimal.
Yeah.
I'm fighting at 57 and I walk around at like 58. So
easy.
I did have the thought of should I do 54, but nah, we decided against it. Yeah, right.
To make that weight every single day is
pretty it's not worth it, especially when there's a high risk of every night that I don't sleep. So
yeah,
just go in and, you know. Like, and I also, I'm just so excited to knock hopefully 4 fights out within 4 days, like rack up experience quick.
Yeah, definitely. Mm.
Yeah, so for the uninitiated, can you talk through what the structure of that is like? So you've got like how many fighters are there, over what time period, like, yeah, how does it all work?
I don't think we'll really know how many there are until we're there, but I know there's, I think there's at least 600 athletes coming from 60 different countries. Yeah. So it'll just depend how many are in each bracket. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, so it's 4 days and you fight. If there's enough people in your bracket, you'll fight for the 4 days if you don't get eliminated. And then the final's actually inside Lumpini Stadium, but all the other fights are outside Lumpini Stadium. Yeah, so sick.
It's like an extra sort of cherry on top to
fight for. Yeah, so cool. Wow. I didn't know. We gave Corey and I, when I started fighting, we were only going to give me a year to fight because we do want to obviously have more kids and stuff like that. But it just kind of, the years keep stretching out a little bit with cool opportunities. So we'll see.
Yeah. Is it hard to, it must be hard to know when to say, like if you are just on this upward trajectory, which you clearly are, like seeing you fight at MVI and then fucking that last fight, like you're a bit on a steep upward trajectory now at the amazing Muay Thai Festival. It must be really conflicting sort of knowing when to say when. How do you feel about it?
It's really tricky because it's like obviously my number one priority in life is to be a good mum, and you know, I obviously want to give my son a sibling and I want to grow the family and stuff like that, but it's so hard because I never thought I'd be doing what I am now. A few years back, I was in a much darker place, you know, in my early 20s, and just to finally be doing what I'm doing now, and I'm so proud of myself for it. And then, yeah, it's like, how do you stop? Muay Thai's so fun.
Let that be a lesson to any of the mid-20 females out there listening that are umming and ahhing about fighting.
Just do it.
Just do it. You'll run out of time, you know.
100%.
Whether you have kids or not, you do run out of time eventually anyway, you know.
100%.
Like, kids out of the picture, you're only going to be able to do it until your mid-30s or so. So
exactly.
Just got to go.
Just go hard. Yeah. We live once.
What does your day-to-day training regime look like with the kid and running the gym and fitting it all in?
So he's not at childcare, so he's at home with us during the day. Try and spend some time. I can't really train twice a day. We do sometimes just before fights. But like, as I said, I'm trying to balance being a good mum and getting in my own training. So, I'm with him and then, I go to training. We run at 4:30, train from 5 till 7. I usually don't get time to do reps or anything like that at the end when the boys do, because, you know, it hits 7 o'clock and that's when I go home and, do dinner with him and stuff like that. So it's 7 o'clock and I'm like, in like Connor's headlock like this, and I see the time and my hair's everywhere. I'm like, shit. So then I run out the gym, go home, cook dinner, try and be super present with him, so that it doesn't impact him, put him to bed, then cook our dinner and stuff like that. So it's a long day. And as you know, Joe, like, there's a lot to running a gym. Trying to keep on top of it all.
One word that you just used then was about like being super present for him. That's probably got to be the hardest part of all of it, because it's easy to get distracted and be present in training because you're under duress, you know, but going home and switching off and not thinking about training, the person you have to fight, the gym you have to run, the member you need to call back because their bloody membership bounced for the 10th time in a row.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and social media and stuff like that. Exactly. It's so full on.
You got a child that you need to be present for and talk to, and he's asking you questions and you need to be patient with him and answer back nicely. That's hard.
It is really hard. Yeah. It's a cool ability to try and master though. When you're forced to do it.
He's a happy kid. Every time I've seen him, he's smiling and running around and having a good time. So
we're super lucky. He's just such a happy kid, but it's hard. But yeah, he loves the gym as well. So it's starting to get easier that he can actually be at the gym, so we don't have to be apart from him.
Yeah.
But I just have to pay a babysitter to be there and make sure he doesn't run out the door on the jump on a train.
Isn't that the whole thing with having kids? Is it like as you get him trained enough to be able to be self-sufficient, you're going to have another baby like right on the way where he'll be...
That's what I'm hoping. I'm pretty sure Bridget said that to me once. Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm banking on.
I'm pretty sure
on.
That's where I've heard it from as well. Because her other two boys are great now. Yeah. And not that Tiago is it, but, you know.
He's just a handful. So, Chloe, you'll love this. My other two are 5 and 7, and I dropped them at the airport this week to take a solo flight without us to New Zealand.
What a handful.
Amazing.
So I was like, Mum's like, how are you dealing with school holidays this, you know, you got a new job and la la la. And I was like, oh God, who knows, we'll make it work, you know. And she's like, just chuck them on an airplane, I'll look after them for a couple of weeks. And so they've gone, the two of them with their little rolly suitcases off to the airport.
Cute.
And the departure lounge, passport in hand, see you kids.
Do they have a guide?
Awesome.
With them?
Yeah. They get the royal treatment. One of my friend's kids did it and I was like, what was it like? He's 9 doing it, so a little bit older. He's like, oh, it's great, I had my own butler on the flight. So they get the full, he's like, every time I wanted chips, they just got chips for me. And like, yeah, they get full on.
Yeah. I've heard a few people doing it with their kids and it sounds like an awesome experience for them.
I think because they're just there on a farm being dirty and running around and climbing trees for 2 weeks. Perfect. You know, they can't do that here in the city. Like
I'll be sending my kids down to my dad for weekend retreats. And I'll just be like, get him to cut your wood. Light your fire, dig holes for you.
Basically,
give him the treatment. Yeah. Give him my childhood. Because I watch him with his grandkids at the moment and he's like buying them ice cream and being nice to them. And I'm like,
are
you? Exactly. What the fuck?
Oh, man. No, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, you sound like a glass half full kind of girl, though, Chloe. Like, just before you said something along the lines of, you know, it's a good challenge. Like, is that your general. What's your general disposition and attitude towards, like, you sound like you've had a really tough time in your 20s. Like, fighting is not for everybody, and you're also balancing a lot. Like, maybe just talk through, what's your, like, philosophy or how you think about challenges?
I think I left out a part of the story earlier that, so as a coping mechanism to deal with all that, I had a bit of a drug addiction. And so working my way through that was massive and taught me so much. So for me now, like, fighting's hard, yeah, but I'm blessed to be fighting. Like, if sliding doors moment, like I might not have been here today or something like that, you know what I mean? So it's just, it for me, I just feel so blessed to be able to do what I do now. And so even when it's fucking hard and I haven't slept, like, training's grueling, but it's like, and it's suffering, but it's like, it's our choice to suffer. And it's so rewarding. So, I didn't always have this positive disposition. I just feel, really, really lucky and super blessed to be in the position I am. And, I just wish I found Muay Thai when I was 10. My God, it's like Muay Thai is the most raw. Like, so what I love about Muay Thai is just how raw it is, and no one can hide, no one can pretend to be anything that they except what they are. And that to me is the rawest, purest shit in the world. Like, I love it.
Well, and you've got the perspective of not being well. If having a drug addiction,
100%
is not being well, whether it be mentally, physically, well, probably both actually.
Both, yeah.
Now you're
exactly.
Well. You're raising a child. You're running a successful business and performing as an athlete. The contrast and perspective is incredible.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. I wasn't always positive, but I still wake up and feel blessed every day, even when I haven't slept, because it's just, yeah, life could have been so different.
100%.
Wow, that's so impressive. You've got a really unique perspective as well, in that you're, as you're learning and, you know, making that transition from amateur fighter to pro fighter, not that long ago, that's like a year ago, right? As my time frame.
My first pro fight was with Helen. I think that was May.
So not even. So you're in this sort of unique perspective where you're in the gym, you're having to sort of manage the fight team and train the fight team along with Corey, but you're also training yourself and sort of learning yourself to do that transition from amateur to pro. How did you find that?
It's hard to know when to be a wife or a partner, and when to be the gym manager, and when to just be a student. It's a really tricky distinction, and you know, I'm very involved in all of it because it's a big job for Corey to handle on his own. We've got a fair few fighters now and stuff like that, plus all the, you know, the normal members. So I'm very involved in all the, like, not like the matching, obviously, but finding out about their opponents, stuff like that. So it's, but then when it's me fighting, and then I'm not meant to know anything about my opponent, not meant to watch them or anything like that. It's a really tricky separation to have, or just, you know, to immediately shut that part of my brain down and think, oh no, that doesn't matter, when I know on the other side, it does matter, you know, like, yeah. You do have to watch. So
no too much.
yeah. So that's tricky. But it's not a bad thing.
It's rewarding being a trainer and obviously owning a gym and all that kind of stuff. But I've had a few guys that have come in, started doing amateurs and are talking about going the PT route and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, stay away from it for as long as you want to fight, because it's easier when you're not doing it, when you're not holding pads for people all day and it's not your job. It's easier to just show up and train, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. And that's why, like,
you get envious of the people that just mow lawns all day, come to the gym, train, go home, eat, get up, go to work, and then just come to the gym and not have to think about anything.
Right? My God, you just imagine what kind of fighter you'd be. right? But I actually, in that, like, I feel super, I feel for Corey, because obviously he had so much fighting ability left in him. But he retired obviously after we just had Fox and had started the gym. And obviously, you know, Joe, like, imagine fighting now while trying to teach your fighters and, you know, manage the gym
at the moment.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I tried to get myself ready again and it just didn't work. Like, I just can't train as much.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
You can't. And that's why, like, I just, it's really cool that Corey that I was able to have, like, he kind of stepped back and I'm now able to have that experience, because I didn't want to just be, not that there's anything wrong with it or anything, but if this is our life and this is what we're going to do for the rest of our lives, I want to be able to have walked through the same fire that our fighters are going to, and not just be the coach's wife. Not that that's a bad thing in any way, but I just, as someone who, you know, loves human experience, like, I want to be able to understand what they're going through.
It puts an incredible amount of value into your gym as well.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I mean? To have a female professional there to inspire, train and lead other potential females to come through, like, that's invaluable.
Yeah, that's initially, because when I first had a baby, I'd been super keen to fight before that, and then once I had a baby I became super maternal and soft and I was like, oh, maybe I won't fight, you know. And then but that was something in my head that I thought that I would be able to give it a good crack and it would actually help our gym. So Corey and I had that conversation whether or not I should fight, and we thought it would be good for the gym. And now it's kind of, now it's quite a, not a selfish thing, but now I'm really enjoying it, you know. So, but I still tell myself that, you know, no, it's good for the gym.
It's for the
but
gym.
Secretly, I'm fucking loving it, you know.
Oh, that's so good. What are you thinking for this year then? So you've obviously got the amazing Muay Thai Festival. Are you just going to go hard 2024, I think, kid, maybe after that? Or what are you thinking for goals for the year?
So I think we'll just take it as it comes. I'm booked in for Roots as well, which is March 15th. I can't say. I'm not allowed to say. yeah, I'll tell you that. But it'll be a good one. You'll be happy with it. So I'm super excited about that as well, and especially coming off the Muay Thai Festival, because we'll get to train for a week in Thailand before, which I haven't been able to do yet. So,
You're not going to have a kid. You're just going to keep fighting.
That's I know. It's so hard. This is my daily dilemma, Joe. All day, every day.
Fox got cousins or something. You don't really need to.
Yeah, he's got heaps. He's got heaps of cousins.
Every time Fox shits his pants, I bet you're kind of like, fighting's better than fucking loving up.
Well, yeah, that's what I was doing at 5 a.m. when I messaged you this morning, Bridget. Yeah,
exactly.
So we'll see. So obviously... the festival, hopefully I can smash up 4 fights, which that would mean I get a medal, and that will be, that's, you know, my mentality going into it, that I'll be fighting 4 times. And then, yeah, Roots, March, and then I guess we'll just see what happens after that.
Well, that's good, because last time I spoke to you after your last fight, it was one more in, like, December, and then maybe do, you know, the other kid and all that kind of stuff, and you've already stretched it out till March now, so that's pretty
good. And 5 more fights.
I know, right? It's
how easy
bad.
Is it going to be to stretch out to July? Man?
I know. It's hard because Corey really wants another kid, but after each fight, even he's like, nah, we're going to keep going.
Well,
but
he's not dumb. He can see the trajectory you're on and your potential and that, so of course, like... Yeah, he wants to see it well too.
Yeah, and he just loves the fight. Like, that man lives and breathes Muay Thai. Like, he is so dialed in. He's an incredible coach. Like, I joke that he's, you know how some special people are super talented and, like, have, like, this super ability in one thing? Yeah. That's what I tease him sometimes about that, because he's so focused and dialed into Muay Thai and, like, you can ask him, how do I get out of this? You know, you're stuck in a position or something like that. And within 2 seconds, he'll give you 3 different options, and there'll be ones that you've never seen him do, but it's all just so in his head. Like the
Rain Man. He watches a lot of Muay Thai, yeah?
Not so much anymore, but it's just, he obviously did, you know, his whole entire 20s. He lived in the gym. He lived at Super Fight when I met him, in a hole in the wall, pretty much. Like, it was a loft. It was a loft. It wasn't that bad. But, yeah, like, next time you're there for an interclub, like, just look up. And, yeah, Corey used to live in there. So, yeah, he lives and breathes it. So I just feel super lucky to have, to be dialed into his voice, because – even when I'm fighting, I feel like majority of it is a lot of it's what he's just told me to do, and I've just done it. So it's like,
that's the point of it, though.
Yeah, true.
You know, like, I'm sure you've been in the corner when someone's fighting and they're not doing what they're told, and damn it, ain't that enjoyable.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, been there.
Yeah,
I loved you put up a post recently of just how proud he was of you after your last fight. Like, this gorgeous video of him giving you a big hug at the end. And it's very hard to watch that and not be like, oh.
It's the best. Like, you know, he can do my, like, I love that man so much. He can do my head in at home. But then when I see him be proud of me at the gym, I'm just like, yes. Like, you know how nice it is to make your coach happy. But when it's someone that you respect so much as such an incredible fighter and, yeah, like, I just, even with his fighting, he had so much more potential left in him. So to make him happy, it's awesome. Even in my very first fight, it was my first amateur Muay Thai fight, and I finished, it was the girl I fought was an absolute legend, but I finished it with knees in the second round, and I didn't really understand what had happened. A bus waved it off, and then Corey just told me to go see if she's all right, and he just had this plain face, and I was like, is he upset with me? Or he just didn't react, no expression. And then anyway, we finish, we go out to the car, he shuts the door, and he just squeals, like screams for like 30 seconds, because he just wanted to hold it in and be respectful and all that. But like, I was just watching him like, what's happening? And it was... like, just, yeah, making him happy is just the best.
Oh, fuck yeah. I love that story. All right, to finish it off and bring it back to you, and speaking of fighters that you know, being respected, we do a bit of background prep and for podcasts like this, and means getting messages from your fighting teammates. And I just wanted to read out something that one of your teammates sent because it's adorable. Chloe is everything you would want in a fighter and a teammate. She embodies strength, resilience, and determination. She trains tirelessly, pushing herself to new limits every day. She has a massive heart and will never shy away from a challenge. Not only is she physically strong, but possesses a fierce mental fortitude that sets her apart from her opposition. Her dedication and passion for the sport are truly remarkable, and she serves as a role model for aspiring fighters, both male and female. We are very lucky to have such an inspiring fighter at Cowboy. If that doesn't make you cry,
fuck, I am crying. Oh, and I think I know who that was. Damn. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it's been awesome watching you, and I'm not surprised that that's what it's like to train with you, because you just fucking put in everything. Every clip I see, every time I see you fight, it's just like, man, you're a workhorse. It's very cool to watch.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm super lucky. We got the best team.
So good.
Well, you created that team, so you got to remember that's you and Corey as well. Like,
yeah.
Take the team.
True. All right, before we let you go, we wanted to give a little plug as well to one of your sponsors, Stable Massage. So they're amazing. They are great supporters for lots of fighters here in Victoria. I think they sponsored Roots last time, or Rebellion, sorry, last time as well. So I just wanted to give them a little plug. Anything in specific you want to call out with them?
Oh, just they're incredible. Like, to be honest, I didn't really believe in massage beforehand. Like, but I go in there with so many niggles, and, you know, like, I'm carrying a heavy child most of the day, and they fix everything. Like, I just, go check them out. It's not even me trying to plug them. They're awesome. And every therapist I've had is, you know, different and has their own little niche, but you always leave feeling so much better.
Yeah. Awesome. Very good, Chloe. Well, thank you. Joseph's going to have a choking fit now. So I'll wrap
good
us
timing.
Up.
Sorry, guys.
thanks so much for coming on, Chloe. Good luck for the amazing Muay Thai Festival. And we'll make sure we tag that photo, that lineup of fighters and links where people can watch. But yeah, good luck.
Awesome.
Kill it.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Chloe.
See you guys.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Female Fight Experience. If you like what you heard and want more, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you could rate and review us while you're there as well, we'd really appreciate that. It helps this podcast get into more ears and hopefully, ultimately, gets you some more fighting opponents. You can find us on Instagram at Female Fight Experience or on email at femalefightexperience@gmail.com. We love hearing your feedback, and any suggestions you have for future interview guests, make sure you send those our way as well. Thank you, and see you next week for more Female Fight Experience.